Hi, this is David Hinchliffe from the My Cricket Coach Show. As you've probably already realised, there's no show this week due to technical difficulties that I won't bore you with. But I couldn't leave you empty-handed. So here's a part of a 30-minute interview on pre-season training that I did earlier this week. If you want the full interview, head to pitchvision.com/pre-season and click on free updates, and you can get the free Countdown to Summer newsletter that contains the show. The full show will be back next week, with a new name and a new logo, but the same great advice. So now, on with the interview. Let's talk a little bit about middle practice, that kind of halfway house between playing and netting when you set up a game situation and you have a couple of batsmen and a couple of bowlers. Do you use much middle practice? And if you do, what kind of middle practice do you emphasise?
Well, we do middle practice, and the sort of things that we'd want to do would be obviously guys batting in pairs, and you'd want to go through the different stages that you would experience in a game. So you might have a scenario, you've got two guys batting and it's the first 10 overs of a one-day game, and it's all about dropping the ball, rotating the strike and putting away the bad ball. And a good practice for that is to have two bowlers bowling at the same time, looking to bowl a length, and have a grid around the square where the fielders are just about far enough away to challenge the batsman to get their single. And you might say to the batters, okay, there's three balls that you hit. You must get a single within those three balls. And if you can get to two within the three balls, great. And then when they get to a certain score, you might say, okay, next phase is two balls that come down that you hit. You've got to get a single off them. And if they get to their run target, finally, it's a run every time you hit it. Now, that gives the batsman a gradual build-up of sort of getting their runs and getting the scoreboard ticking over. It also keeps the fielders on their toes in practice because they know that they've got a very good chance of getting a run out on a regular basis. The batsmen are forced to run between the wickets well and fast. The bowlers know what sort of lengths they've got to be bowling and lines. The next phase might be to say, okay, right now it's the middle of the game. Every three balls that come down, you need to hit a boundary. And then every two balls that you hit, you've got to hit a boundary. Then every ball that comes down, you have to hit a boundary. And finally, you might just have, okay, five overs now, six overs. You need to try and hit every ball for a boundary. Four or six, and you have X lives. So you know they're going to get out a few times, but at least you're going to give them freedom to express themselves and go for some big shots. The other way of doing it is just set a target. Six overs, you need 80 runs. You've got one life. And you could even bat players or batsmen in a three, so they just keep rotating in the middle. Coach, captain needs to be innovative and try and set things up to suit their needs. But the areas they've got to look at are building an innings, milking the bowling, and then ultimately looking to hit boundaries.
And would you do any specific middle practice where the batsmen are working on manoeuvring spin bowling around and trying to work out ways of scoring against spin bowling?
Yeah, you'd do that. You just set various different field scenarios and then try and, you know, the batter would have to work out how they're going to use their technique to get the runs required. And I think manipulating the bowling against spin or even against pace, if a ball's bowled on a particular length, you know that there are certain basic shots that should be hit in certain areas. So you've got your different areas, but when you're looking to hit those areas, the key thing is to not change your technique too much. So try and maintain good basic technique, but obviously have different options open to you to score. For instance, if a seamer's bowling sort of a length ball on middle and off, if you wanted to hit the gap at straightish mid wicket, you might walk across your stumps slightly, open up, so you're more or less playing a straight drive towards that particular area. Because by manoeuvring yourself in the crease, you don't have to change too much in your technique. It stays the same, you know. And if a spinner, left arm spinner, is bowling on a length in at middle of the leg, my options might be sweep or look to go into out over extra cover. Again, the sweep shot's not going to change too much. It stays as it should be. To hit over extra cover, you move your feet back away slightly. But again, as you hit the ball, the shape of your shot doesn't change from a good basic technique. When it starts changing from a good basic technique and you start hitting across the line, then that's when maneuvering the strike becomes a very risky business. And if you've got mid on and mid off up, well, why not just smack it straight back over their heads with exactly the same shape as you would if you were going to hit it along the ground? So you need to know where your areas are, but you don't want to compromise technique too much when you're trying to hit them.
Assuming your technique is sound anyway, those kind of adaptations should come quite easily because they're slight adjustments to what you're already doing by, you know, playing with a good technique. But would you groove those type of shots before you took them out to middle practice or games?
I think if you've grooved the front and back foot drives well, and especially the front foot drives, and you've got a good basic technique to mid off, mid on, and straight. Yes, you must practice hitting over the top. So you might set a bowling machine just on a length and get your players to just get confidence and self-belief that they can consistently hit the ball straight back over the bowler's head. Again, same sort of thing against spin. Once you've given them the good technique, they will manoeuvre their body and get their foot the right side of the correct side of the ball to be able to hit a very good cricket shot down the ground. And yes, you would practice that. It's like sweeping. Yes, I'd practice the sweep. I'd practice the slog sweep. I'm not a great believer of the reverse sweep or the left-handed shot. I think there's enough shots in the book for you to play. If you've got a good technique and you've practiced all your attacking shots really well, if you spend time at the crease, the run should come anyway. It's just about having the confidence to go over the top or just hit slightly left or right of a fielder and make small changes of angle to get your runs where the blade of the bat stays pretty much full on the ball. When you start trying to make huge angle changes, like hitting a straight ball, stepping forward, playing a straight ball through square leg when it pitches on off stump, then it's all getting a bit very risky and the chances are you're going to be pretty inconsistent with pulling off your game plans on a regular basis. You cannot beat the basics, hitting down the ground where possible. And on the slower wickets this time of the year, you know, moving your feet, coming down the wicket, hitting over the top was a good option. If you wanted to hit, for instance, the off spinner over mid wicket, you might drop your front foot out wide and clear in the legs. So at least you're still swinging your bat in a reasonably straight line to the ball, maintaining a decent elbow position, rather than just put your foot straight up the wicket and slog across the line.